Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from Proverbs 12, verse 15, one verse. Proverbs 12, 15. Before we read God's word, let's once again go to him in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have revealed yourself through your word. We know you. We know your heart through Jesus, the eternal Son. Father, you have revealed your will through your word. We know your design for our lives through Jesus, the promised Messiah. Father, we pray that you would grant your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, so that we would have ears to hear your word, so that the eyes of our hearts might be opened to see you, to see your will. And Father, grant us the strength and desire to live out your will for our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading comes from Matthew 7, beginning with verse 24. Matthew 7, beginning with verse 24. Now, a little over 3 years ago, not much over 3 years ago, before we started ministry here with you, before our family moved to Jackson, a little over 3 years ago, Sarah and I were house shopping. And early in the house shopping process, we walked into what was probably maybe the third home we looked at or the fourth home that we looked at. And as soon as we walked in and looked around, walked in the living room, I noticed this very large crack on the living room wall. And I also noticed some strange things going on with the floor. Now, that was our first introduction to Yazoo clay. We had no idea. What in the world is Yazoo clay? You know, our realtor, I can imagine what she thought of the look in her eyes. We're like, what is this? Well, as you know, the shifting, expanding, contracting clay, it can move the foundation of your home and can cause all kinds of havoc and damage, not only to your home, but on city streets, as we well know here in Jackson. Well, in our passage today, in this passage from Matthew, Jesus talks about house construction, and he's specifically talking about the foundation upon which a house is built. He doesn't mention Yazoo clay in our passage, but he talks about rock and sand. And he talks about what happens when you build a home on rock or sand. And he's also talking about what type of people build homes on rock and on sand. So that's our passage today, and it's actually our last, this is our last sermon in a series on the Sermon on the Mount. We've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount since January, since the beginning of the year. This is it on the Sermon on the Mount. Next week, we're going to begin a study on the book of Acts. So we're going to start Acts chapter 1, verse 1, next week, and we'll be in Acts for a few months. But Matthew 7, beginning with verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, again, Jesus spoke these words on a mountain. The Son of God, God made man, the Word made flesh, was up on a mountain with his disciples, with his followers who were gathered around him, who were seated at his feet. Therefore, the words of this sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, are for disciples. They are for followers of Jesus Christ. They are for those who've been transformed by his grace, who have placed their faith in him. They are for those who have turned from their sin to him, for those whom Jesus has raised up, brought up on the mountain to be with him, to new life, to forgiven life, to eternal life through his death and through his resurrection. So these words are for the church. These words are for you. And these words of Jesus in our passage, they're a warning. Jesus' final words in this sermon are a warning. A warning about hearing and doing. In this warning that Jesus gives, he paints a picture. A picture of two men and two houses. Now, both want the same thing. Both desire the same thing. Both of them want a place to live. They want shelter. They want a home. They want safety. They want a place for their families. Both build in a similar location because they face the same kind of weather. Now, perhaps both of them even built similar kinds of houses. Maybe they both had a brick ranch or a Victorian. Whatever the case may be, when the houses were finished, when the construction was complete, if you looked at the two men and if you looked at the two houses, you wouldn't see much difference. You wouldn't see much difference. They had similar motivations. They had similar desires. They had similar homes. They have similar lives. Until the storms come, until the rain falls, until the wind blows, until the floods rise. And then the difference is revealed. Then the dissimilarity is made known. One house stands. Even though the rain pummeled it, even though the wind beat it, even though the floods threatened it, that house stood firm. That house weathered the storm, but the other one, Jesus says, collapses. It falls, crashes to the ground, crushed by the wind, taken by the flood. And Jesus says, and great was the fall of it. Great was the fall of it. Now, although they looked the same, although they seemed the same, there was one fundamental difference. And that fundamental difference was the foundation. The surface upon which the house was built. Rock, sand. One man built on rock. One man built upon the sand. Jesus says one was wise. One was foolish. Now, of course, the wise man built upon the rock. His house stood. It didn't collapse in the storm. But here's a question. Why would a man be foolish? Why would somebody build something on sand? Well, to answer that question, we have to explore the characteristics of a fool. We've all known fools. You've known fools. Perhaps you've worked with fools, interacted with fools. You've observed fools. What are fools like? Well, first of all, a fool is always in a hurry. A fool is impatient. No time to wait, no time to think, no time to consider. A fool only wants results, action, now, immediately. Build that house now. I like this spot. It's close to the river, and I need to get it built. I need to get it under roof. I need to move in immediately. No time for bothering about foundation. I need a place to live. A fool likes to hurry. A fool does not listen. A fool has closed ears to instruction, to advice, to sound ideas, to wisdom. I mean, in the story that Jesus gives us, the fool could have read about house construction or watched YouTube videos about house construction or taken a class on house construction. The fool could have talked to builders or architects or engineers, but no, the fool wanted to build right away. And right now. Anyway, What do builders or architects or YouTube videos know that he doesn't? And that's the other characteristic of a fool. His ideas are best. His way of doing it is best. He knows best, and the fool will let you know that he knows best. And finally, a fool does not consider a matter through. A fool doesn't consider the possibilities and the probabilities and the risks and the contingencies and the eventualities. The fool doesn't ask himself, what might happen if I build my house here on the sand? What if the river rises? What if a flood comes? Those questions don't even enter into a fool's mind. And even if someone had raised that possibility, even brought in charts and statistics about flooding in that area, the fool would have dismissed it without even a thought. This is where I want my house. Well, the Bible has much to say about fools. And you'll find quite a bit in the book of Proverbs. Our Old Testament reading was from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a book that seeks to impart wisdom, godly wisdom for life. Which means in the book of Proverbs, the ways of fools are often highlighted as a contrast. Now listen again to our Old Testament reading, Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. The fool's way is right in his own eyes, building a house on sand. But the one who is wise listens to advice. Why? Because one who is wise understands that they do not possess all knowledge, that they do not possess all information, all know-how, all wisdom. One who is wise is very aware that they might not know the right way or the best way. So they seek out advice. They seek out instruction. They seek out guidance. A wise person wants to build a house, but they want to build it properly. And so they're going to find out the proper methods for building a house, best practices for construction. They want to read books or talk to builders or engineers or architects or watch videos. They want to think it through. They want to consider the possibilities like storms, floods. They want to plan and then patiently put it into practice. Build a house on a rock. Now, Jesus says, if you hear his words and you do them, if you hear his words and you live them, then you are like the wise man, building your house on the rock, your life on the rock. But Jesus also says, if you hear his words and don't do them, if you hear his words and don't live them, then you're like the foolish man, building your house upon the sand, building your life upon sand. Well, Jesus wants his followers, he wants the church, he wants you to not simply be hearers of his word, but also doers. Jesus wants you to listen, yes. He wants you to listen to him, yes. And he wants you to live it. He wants you to live it day in and day out, Sunday through Saturday. He wants you to live it out at home. He wants you to live it out at work. He wants you to live it out at school. He wants you to live it out at Kroger. He wants you to live it out among your family, among your friends. He wants you to live it out among strangers. Jesus wants you to hear it and to live it. So Jesus, this comes at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. All that Jesus has been teaching, all that Jesus has been talking about. So Jesus not only wants you to hear, whatever you wish others to do to you, do also to them. But he also wants you to live it. Jesus wants you to hear, don't be anxious about your life. But he also wants you to live it. Jesus wants you to hear, you cannot serve God and money. But he also wants you to live it. Jesus wants you to hear, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. but he also wants you to live it. Jesus wants you to hear, if anybody slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other also. And he wants you to live it. But he wants you to live it not for salvation, not so that you can be right in God's eyes, not so that you would be accepted by God. No, Jesus has saved you. Jesus has saved you. Through his death and through his resurrection, he's given you new life with him and in him. By faith in Jesus, you are right in God's eyes. You are accepted by the Father. No, you want to live as Jesus teaches because of what he's done for you. You want to do Jesus' words because he has saved you, because he's poured out his love upon you. You want to live Jesus' words. You want to do as he commands out of love for him, out of gratitude to him. You want to build your life on him. You want to build your life on his words. And if you do, your foundation is on the rock. You've built your house upon the rock. The foundation of your life is upon Jesus. It's firm. It's solid. It's unmovable. You are placing yourself under the instruction, under the guidance, under the wisdom of Jesus, who shows you how life is lived best, who shows you life as God desires it, life as God designed it. That's what the Sermon on the Mount has been. That's what this whole series has been, Jesus Christ showing how life is lived best. Life as God intended it to be lived. Life following him. Now, Jesus also says, if you don't live it, if you hear it but don't do it, then your foundation is on sand, unstable, undependable, shifting. You are the fool who hears advice. You're the fool who hears instruction but dismisses it. You know better. You know what's best for your life. You know how to build a house. You can rely on yourself. Well, Jesus says, that may be the case, but the problem is going to be when the storms of life come. And they're going to come. The winds are going to rage. The rains are going to beat. The floods are going to rise. And this can happen in a variety of ways. The storms of life can come when you receive an unexpected diagnosis. The storms of life come when you struggle with the effects of aging, of getting older. The storms of life come when you lose your job, or when you don't get into the school that you wanted or the program you wanted. The storms of life come when a loved one dies, or when you realize your marriage is collapsing or relationships are broken. The storms of life come when your parents age or your children stray. The storms of life come when you're faced with difficult decisions. Or you're just struggling. You're just struggling day to day, and you feel the flood waters rising. Well, Jesus says if you build on sand, if you build on sand, your house is going to fall. It'll collapse. You won't be able to withstand the storm. Why is that? Well, it's because you don't have anything to stand on. You have no shelter. Because what you built based on your own knowledge, based on your own insight, relying upon yourself, can be swept away in a moment, in the blink of an eye. And when what you have done, when what you did, when the work of your hands is gone, then you have nothing. But Jesus says, if you build on the rock, your house won't fall. It won't collapse. You will make it through the storm. You will stand. You will have shelter. Why? Because you've built upon Jesus Christ. You've built upon his word. Your trust is in him. Your hope is in him. Your life is in him. And he will not move in a storm. He won't move. He is steady. He is secure. He is solid. He is with you. He is over you. He is underneath you. He is all around you. And the storm will pass. The wind will cease. The rain will stop. The flood will recede. And he will still be holding you up. And he will hold you up even unto death. Even unto death. Well, the question that arises after hearing Jesus' words is simply this: are you the fool or are you wise? Are you building on sand? Are you listening but not living it? Are you building on the rock? Are you listening and doing? Or are you in the midst of a storm right now? Are the storms of life raging around you right now? Are you on the rock or are you sinking? Are you collapsing? Cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. Call upon him to lift you up, to save you from the storm, from the flood. And he will. He will place you on the rock. Jesus challenges us. Are we listening? And are we living it? Are we on the rock or are we on the sand? I pray that you are built upon the rock, upon Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for you. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word. And we thank you for the words of your son, Jesus. We thank you, Father, that through this Sermon on the Mount, you have showed us your desire for our lives. You've showed us what it is to follow Jesus. Father, we pray that you would help us to be hearers and doers. We pray that you would help us to build our house, our lives, upon the rock, upon your Son, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.